A full third of the upper house's seats, for the most part those with the most spectacular coats of arms of all, were held not by secular nobles, but by the bishops and senior abbots of the Church of God Awaiting. Despite whatever Harald or his immediate predecessors might have desired, there'd been no possible way in which they could have created a parliament without providing for the church's massive representation within it. Some of the men sitting in those particular seats were not the men who had sat in them prior to the Battle of Darko Sound, however. Most of those who'd been replaced by Archbishop Michael's new nominations and ordinations had resigned in furious protest when their fellows opted to support Caleb and Stainer in their bid for independence from the Council of Vicars. Two of them, however, had been removed on royal warrant and were currently in reasonably comfortable cells awaiting trial. That was what tended to happen when the Crown had irrefutable proof that the men in question had been actively plotting the assassination of the king. Irrefutable proof I steered Wave Thunder to, Merlin reflected with grim satisfaction. I wish it hadn't existed, that there hadn't been any plots to kill Caleb, but I might as well wish the sun wouldn't shine. And at least the rest of the church took the arrest of two of its senior members by secular authorities on secular charges, which carry the high probability of the death sentence, if sustained, far better than I was afraid it might. Caleb reached the lectern, carrying the state scepter, which, in Karras's case, was an ornately gilded and jeweled but still uncompromisingly effective mace, and Merlin suppressed an internal chuckle. That scepter would undoubtedly have served quite handily to open any door which anyone might have had the temerity to close against its bearer, which only underscored the fact that there was no nonsense here in Karras about who was whose equal. No requirement for the monarch to formally request admittance to the House of Commons. Harald VII and his immediate ancestors might have recognized their responsibility to prepare for a different day in Karras, but they'd been very careful to conserve the true power in the hands of the monarchy for now. Which was why every man and the handful of women in that chamber stood and bowed as Caleb set the scepter in the waiting brackets on the front of the lectern. "Be seated, my lords and ladies," the king invited after a moment, and feet and clothing scraped and rustled as Parliament obeyed. He waited until everyone had settled once more, then turned his head, surveying all of those waiting faces with a calm Merlin suspected he didn't quite feel. "We have summoned you in order to share with you the content and consequences of a letter we have but recently received from our trusted servant, the Earl of Greyharbor," he said then. "It concerns a decision upon the part of Her Majesty Queen Charlion to a proposal we committed to her by Earl Greyharbor's personal hand." He paused, and every person in that entire chamber sat very, very still. That stillness was the confirmation security had held, Merlin thought. Everyone knew Greyharbor had gone to Chisholm as Caleb's special envoy, and it had been obvious to even the least perceptive political dullard that the first counselor himself would not have been sent unless Caleb had something significant to say to Charlion. But no one outside Caleb's immediate circle of advisers knew what that something significant had been, and Parliament's eagerness to find out was palpable. "We now announce to you," Caleb said clearly, "Queen Charlion's acceptance of our offer for her hand in marriage." For a heartbeat or two, it didn't seem to register. Then it did, and the wave of astonishment rippled through Parliament like a high wind through prairie grass. Merlin could actually see it sweeping across the seated representatives and peers, and despite the king's presence, despite the solemnity of the Parliament itself, A chorus of amazed voices went with it.